या देवी सित पंकजा सनवरासी नाक्ष मालाकर वीणा झंकृति नष्ट सर्व जड़ता स्मेर प्रफुल्लानना या वाक्यार्थ पद प्रमाण विभवा या सर्व भाषात्मिका ताम वाचामधि देवताम भगवतीं वंदे सदा भारतीं। मोस्ट रिस्पेक्टेड स्वामिनी अम्मा, the chief guest for today's function, and my loving friend Dr. Manjusha, the faculty, the campers, the students, those who have joined offline as well as online, I welcome you all to this third camp in the series of the Vedic Suktas camp. This is the third in number, and every camp I try to give a different topic. The first was the important deities of the Rigveda, like Indra, Agni, Varuna, Vishnu, you know. And second was on the natural phenomenon like the Ushas, the Ratri, Aditya, Parajanya, and Aranyani, the forest deity. And now I have chosen the genre of Samvada. As truly stated by Dr. Manjusha, Samvada is very, you know, unique genre, unique type of hymns from the Rigveda. Basically, this is an art of communication, right? Samvada is an art of communication. Now, if you Google or if you learn through education system or psychology, there are, you know, types of communications. We talk, this is Vaikhari Vani. That is the verbal communication. There is a non-verbal communication through actions, through Netra Pallavi, Kara Pallavi, the Abhinaya, the Mudras, the dancers do that. There is a written communication, right? And there is this one, visual communication. It doesn't involve the words. Just seeing the pictures, you know, sometimes it is just a visual. There is nothing written, and yet as we have the hieroglyphs or the pictographs from the ancient times, so there is this pictographs also, or the visual communication as well. But speaking, that is typical to human being. Speaking is typical to human being, and therefore when we talk of samvada, it is sam plus vada. Sam is the prefix. Next slide. Sam is the prefix and vada is the root. Sam iti eki karanarthe, says Yastacharya. In his Nirupta, he says sam means bringing it together. And vada is to speak. So when this speech is brought about by a community of people, by many people, or one to one, then it becomes samvada, because sam is ekikarana, bringing together. Okay, now this is to converse, to speak, but together, to somebody, with somebody, right? So there are some samvada suktas, especially there are 10 books of the Rigveda. Out of the 10 books, the first and the 10th mandala are regarded as, you know, chronologically the latest. Of course, when we say the Veda is apavrusheya, how can you have any division in that? But still the modern scholars say that there is a division, and the 10th and the 1st are relatively later because they are compiled later on. And you know, interestingly, both these mandalas have 191 suktas. First mandala also 191, 10th mandala also 191. And most of these come in the 10th mandala, but I have chosen from different mandalas to give you variety. And as rightly said by Manjusha, the most beautiful, the most poetic, dramatic, which you can visualize in front of your eyes, is the Vishwamitra Nadi Samvada Sukta. You know, basically Samvada, vada with some prefix gives you samvada. The same verb with another prefix called vi, which is viruddha, it is vi samvada. So samvada and visamvada, you have to make a different, you have to make a difference between these two. So as in the Aikya Mantra or the Samanasya Sutta, it is said, the last sutta of the Rigveda, Sangachadvam, Sambadadvam, Sango Manansi Janatam, you know, all of us should speak in one language. We should go to one particular goal, you know. So like that we should have samvada, samvadadvam, we should have samvada, because ultimately it brings us the agreement, concurrence, you know, conformity after discussion perhaps. So there are many samvada suttas, almost 15 to 20 samvada suttas are there, and we will be dealing with few of them. Many samvada suttas have, like in Vishwamitra and Nadi, we have, you know, Vishwamitra is the seer, and there are two rivers, so two rivers are speaking, so there are three characters. In Indra, Aditi and Apala, Indra, Aditi and Vamadeva from the fourth mandala, again there are three people involved. In Indra, Apala from the eighth mandala, there are only two people. So like that it may differ, you know. And Pururava, Urvashi, there are only two characters. Pururava and Urvashi, only two are having dialogue between each other. Now, as it is stated, every samvada has a germ of drama. Because samvada, just by uttering the samvada, uttering a dialogue doesn't suffice. It has to be accompanied by some abhinaya. And that is what is required in drama, is it not? So samvada, oh, I like you very much. Oh, I like you so much. You know, there is a whole body which speaks. It is not just the vaikari vani or the samvada which is thrown, but the whole body has to speak. So abhinaya has to come as a part and parcel in the dialogue delivery, is it not? And therefore rightly it is stated, as she quoted Winternitz, there are many such theories how drama originated. Drama originated from such dialogues which were accompanied by some sort of histrionics, some sort of abhinaya. Okay? So this is definitely the source of the later poetry. And you know, after the Vedic times we come to the Smriti period, that is the epics, the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, then the Puranas, and then the literature, the host, the so much rich literature of Sanskrit. And we will see during the suttas who and how they have got the benefit from this Samvada Sutta, how they got inspired by these Samvada Suttas. Samvada could be sometimes, you know, I can talk to my own self. I don't need anybody else. That is a samvada, dialogue to my own self. That can also be a samvada sutta. And we have one such samvada sutta in the Rigveda, which is called the Aksha Sutta, the gambler's hymn. There is a story of a gambler. Every samvada has an akhyana. Every samvada has a story behind it. And normally these stories are recorded, you know, in writing by Shaunaka Rishi in his text scripture called Brihaddevata. All such akhyanas are written down in versicle form by Shaunaka Muni. Okay, so the gambler's hymn, the Aksha Sutta, can also be treated as a samvada to his own self, because he has lost everything in the game of dice. He has become a pauper now, total bankrupt. Nobody entertains him. Nobody looks at him. His wife turns away her face when he comes home late night. His mother-in-law, wife's mother, hates him like anything. And then he just thinks, what am I worth of now? What should I do? You know? So that is the dialogue between his own self. That is how the self-progress can happen. Unless you have a dialogue with your own self, that is what Vedanta also teaches us. You should have a dialogue with your own self. Is it not? And therefore, there are types of samvada. Of course, I haven't taken any samvada which is a self samvada. I have taken a samvada between two or three people. In general, it is stated, yasya vakyam sa rishihi. One who speaks, he is the rishi. Rishi, the seer. He is the seer. In the modern times, we can say he is the composer. Okay? But because the Vedas are alpa vrusheya, we don't feel and we don't ever say that they have been composed. That is, a deliberate attempt to compose a poetry was never seen, is never seen. And I can show you how, you know, because it is alpa vrusheya, there is no order or sequence sometimes in the mantras. If it is a deliberate attempt, then I will change the order, you know, because I have to make it coherent, susangati, but it is not found there. So, as in when the thoughts came up, the verses were recited, right? And therefore, yasya vakyam sa rishihi, yatena uchyate sa devata. If Pururava is addressing Urvashi, then Pururava becomes a rishi and Urvashi becomes the devata. When Urvashi addresses Pururavas, it is the other way. Okay? Yatena uchyate sa devata. And what is the viniyoga? Viniyogaha gataha. Because these are the akhyanas. Few akhyanas have some ritual components which are remaining. Otherwise, they are viniyogaha gataha. That is the commentary by Sayana. Sometimes, a particular mantra, a particular richa is recited at a particular thing and there it is stated, and normally Sayanacharya writes, viniyogaha laingikaha. Laingika means nothing to do with the Marathi connotation of the laingika. Lingam nama gamakam yatra asti tad laingikam. And what is linga? Linam artham gamayati tad lingam. Linga is an indicator which indicates to the hidden meaning. So viniyogaha laingikaha means the viniyoga is hidden in the richa itself. So these things are clear, because this is very essential. It is stated that without knowing aviditva rushim devata chandam viniyogascha yo pathe adhyapaye dva. One should not learn the Veda, one should not teach the Veda without teaching or without discussing who is the rishi, who is the devata, what is the chanda and what is the viniyoga, the four things. Okay, and therefore in a line I have given it now, so that every time I need not repeat the same things. Now we come to the Vishwamitra Nadi Sukta. I am going to start it today. Few ruchas I can do, and then tomorrow morning session we would be able to complete it. Now this sukta in the third mandala of the Rigveda, I am not giving you the general introduction, but then you can refer to, I think, the camp coordinator. I request him to share the first lecture of the first Vedic Suktas camp, which is an introductory lecture to all the participants online and offline. Okay, so that you will get a general idea, those who don't have, of course, a general idea of what Veda is and what are the suktas, what are the mandalas, who are the seers. So the third mandala is ascribed to seer Vishwamitra. Now there is a story behind this Vishwamitra Nadi Samvada Sukta. The story is like this, that sage Vishwamitra has been the chief priest of King Sudasa of Bharata dynasty. He has, you know, performed yajna, and Bharata Saudasi has given him, you know, Bharata Sudasa has given him lots of gifts, cartloads of gifts, so many chariots and so much of booty. And he is going back to his own region. In the way, these two rivers in full floods are flowing, you know, like two mares who are running for the, in the horse race, two mares, two female horses running, you know, very speedily. Like that, these two rivers are flowing with full flood of waters. Now Vishwamitra is stuck up on the bank. How will he go? And therefore he prays. He entreats upon them, why don't you bend down a little? You are swelling with water and the, you know, the waves of the water. Why don't you bend down a little so that I can easily get across? Be fordable for me. Give me a little pass so that I can get across. So this is a very natural dialogue filled with so many. First thing, the Vishwamitra is a human being, he is a seer, but these rivers, which are like inanimate things, so to say, they are personified. Not only personified, each river has its own specific characteristics that we learn from the Sukta as well, you know. So there are some human emotions expressed in that. On the other hand, it is not just a poetic, because you know there are so many similes and metaphors, utpreksha, upama, etc. But it also gives you the social value, the socio-political, because you know this is Vishwamitra and he is patronized by the king, Bharata king, you know. So who was the Bharata clan? Who were the illustrious kings from the Bharata dynasty, you know? So Sudas is the first, the founder. Sudas is the great generous, the donor. Su, Shobhanam, Sushthu, Daha, Dadati, Iti, Sudas, Sudaha, right? He's a great charitable donor. And he runs very fast, you know, on his horses. He is called Pijavana. And therefore his son, who is Divodasa, again a very historical figure, and we have, you know, in the seventh mandala of the Vasishtha mandala, we have a great description of the Akho Dekhahal, you know, of a war fought between the Bharata dynasty on one hand and the federation of 10 kings on the other hand. It is called Dasharadni Yuddha. So there is a historicity for that. There is a socio-geographical and political environment which is accompanied with it, and there is a cultural value, because rivers in our culture are regarded as mothers. And when they flow with payaha, that paya, that water, paya is ashlishta shabda, there is a pun on the word, paya means water, paya also means milk, is it not? And therefore, when the rivers are flooded with water, it is not just water, it is the nourishing milk for the calves, for the vatsa, you know. So that cultural significance also we can find from this sukta. So from various points of view, from various perspectives, this is a very, very important sukta. Let us start with the first sukta. Of course, I can't chant it. If anybody can chant it, then you are most welcome. But I can't chant in the Vedic mantra style. I was never trained. I am a university grad, and therefore I will read it as a shloka. Okay. Pra parvatana ushati upasthad ashve iva vihite hasamane gave vashubhre matara rihane vipakshatudri payasa javete. If you see in the PPT, after this, you know, there are some vertical marks, there are some horizontal marks. They are called the Vaidika Swaras. Okay. Without the Swaras, the verse is repeated again. Now, in this camp, I am not going to deal with the Vaidika Vyakarana or the grammar, and therefore not speaking much about the Swaras. Only thing is, I can say that the vertical mark above the head of a letter indicates the Swarita, and the horizontal mark below the letter is Anudatta. There are three Swaras in the Veda: Udatta, Anudatta and Swarita. Uchaihi Udattaha, Nichaihi anudattaha samaharasvaritaha. These are the definitions. But udatta is never indicated. It is the samahara which is indicated. That means if that parvatanam, that bow has the svarita, that means the earlier letter is udatta and that letter itself is anudatta. So in parvatanam, o is udatta and that va itself is anudatta. Udatta anudatta yoga samaharaha svarita. That is how we remember. Udatta is uccha, then anudatta, the letter which is anudatta, if it is preceded by udatta, it gets a svarita mark. Okay? I think this is sufficient for the basics. Okay? And then in the third segment, you know, I have given the pada part of that. This is just to introduce to you how the Rigvedic mantras are written. Padapatha is every letter. If it is a prefix, it has to be shown separately. If there is a samasta shabda, samasa, the two components of the samasika shabda are shown separately with an avagraha. You can see avagraha here in upasthat. Gava iva, right? Ashve iva. Visite, upasargas and the nouns, the kridantas are separated. You can notice something else also, and there is iti. Iti, which is never there in the verse above. You see so many times iti karana. Pra parvatanam ushati iti. Ashve iva iti, ashve iva. Visite iti, visite. So this iti karana, there is a rule again that idu de dvi vachanam pragriyam. So wherever there is a pragriya saunya, that is dvi vachana, dual number ending in either e or u or a, it is split, you know, and then there is iti. Just little of swara, the padapatha rules, okay. So this is just an example. So for all other mantras, we are not giving you padapatha. Okay, we are not giving you all the swaras, etc. This is just to introduce you to what the swaras mean and what is the padapatha. Okay, every pada, this is done by shakalya, shakalyasya padapatha. Okay, so now coming to the meaning, this was little technical matter. We don't want to enter too much of technicality, but then the meaning is more important here. Vipat Shutudri Payasa Javete is the main sentence. What does it mean? Javete, Java, Vega. Java is speed. Payasa Javete, they are speeding with Payas, that is water. Who? Vipat and Shutudri. Javete is a dual number, Dvi Vachana. Because the Kartrupada is two. You know, Vipat and Shutudri are flooding, are going with full speed. With water. Okay? How are they? And then there are some like all dvivachanas, they would indicate vipat shutudri. Okay? So vipat and shutudri, they are eager. Eager to what? Eager to rush towards the ocean. And therefore, they rush forward with the mass of their waters from the bosom of the mountains. Parvatanam upasthat ushati kamayamane. I'll come to that with the Sayana Bhashya. Now, one disclaimer at the very outset. The translations are not mine. The translations I have borrowed from the great Vedic scholar who was the first professor of the Sanskrit department of Mumbai University, H.D. Velankar. So his translations, there is a good translation, good or bad, there is a translation by Ralph Griffith as well. But I thought I should follow Velankar first, because that book was edited by my professor, Dr. Suresh Upadhyay, Professor Suresh Upadhyay. So the English translations are from Velankar's translations. And and another thing is, not disclaimer, I take pride in that. I am following Sayanacharya's Bhashya. So in the study material which is given to you, and which is posted to the online campus, right? Which is posted to the online campus, it has the Sayana Bhashya in original, in Sanskrit. Of course, I am not reading line by line because we won't be able to finish even one sukta by the end of the camp, right? So that is for your own manana and swadhyaya. I will be taking some important things from Sayana Bhashya here in the class. Okay. So these two rivers are rushing forward speedily from the mountains. They are flowing. Of course, all the rivers flow from the mountains. Like what? Vishite hasamane ashve. Like they are let loose mares. Ashwa. Ashwa, the dvivachana of ashwa. Mala, male, malaha. So ashwa, ashve, ashwaha. So like two mares which are vishite, which are let loose. From where? From the stable naturally, right? Manduratha vishite. That's what Sayana would say. So hasamane, sparadhamane, they are vying with each other. I will go forward. These two rivers, like the two mares having competition between themselves, who runs fastest? Like that they are running, you know. And another, see, this is a simile, this is an upama. Another simile comes there as gave vashubhre matara rihane. They are two cow mothers. Matara, that is mataro. Gave, that is two cows. They are shubhre. Shubhre is not just white, they are bright. They are not just white, but they are bright. Or looking very beautiful, you know, like, you know, it's always a good sight to look at a cow and a calf together. The calf drinking the milk of the cow. It's always a beautiful sight to see, is it not? So, gave vashubhre matara rihane vipachutudri payasa javete. We will see what Sayana says, the next slide. So in this hymn, there is Vishwamitra, who is the seer. Something about Vishwamitra, we know Vishwamitra from the epics, from the Ramayana and the Mahabharata. We also know the rivalry between Vishwamitra and Vasishtha. We also know about the story of King Harishchandra, Raja Harishchandra, and how Vishwamitra gave him so much of trouble, you know, he troubled him. And then there are so many other stories. Don't be biased by those stories. We are looking at Vishwamitra from the Rig Veda. He is Vishvasya Mitram. He is friend of all. Vishvasya Mitram, friend of all. That's why he is Vishwamitra. Now the etymology, you know, it is always said that the Vedangas, the six Vedangas, you know, Shikshakalpa, Vyakrana Nirukta, Chanda, Jyotisha. They emerged and evolved for what? For easy understanding and interpretation of the Vedic mantras. Vedarthaha angyate gamyate anena iti Vedangam. Right? So that is what is the definition of Vedanga is. Now in that, unless you know the etymology of every word, you cannot translate or interpret the sentences combining these all words, okay? And therefore, Yaska's Nirukta comes like a ready reference for us, you know, which is very, very helpful for the etymologies. So, Vishvasya Mitram, Vishwamitraha, then Shutudri and Vipat. Now, these two rivers also, there is a Nirukti, there is an etymology given of these two rivers, Shukara, Tukara and Dra, Shu, Tu, Dra. There are three letter segments, is it not? There are three syllabic portions in this word, Shutudri. So each letter, each syllable is etymologized by Yaskacharya. Each syllable, I mean it is his principle. Akshara samanyenava nirbruyat, natvevana nirbruyat. Even if you know you have to split the word in different segments and try to derive the word from one syllable, go ahead and do it. Don't say, no, I can't find etymology. You can split the word, but take the etymology. Okay? So that is his principle, and therefore he says, Shutudri Shu Nama Ashu, quickly, Chipram. Shu is Ashu, Chipram, okay, quick, fast. Tu is from root Tuda, to pierce, to push. And Dru is Dravati, that is Gachati, it is a Gatyarthaka root. So Shutudri is one river, that river which flows, which moves, which goes about when pushed. And how does she flow? Shu Kshipram. So as if somebody is pushing, you know, small children are running in the race and somebody gives him, that boy is just standing like this, should I run or should I not run? And then somebody pushes him and then he goes running. Like that somebody has pushed Shutudri and then she doesn't look back, you know. Shu, ah, Shu. Dravati, Gachati. What a beautiful etymology, is it not? But we come to Bipash, there are two, three different etymologies, very nice etymologies, and one etymology has an akhyayika again. Etymologies also have some stories to tell you. Okay? So, this was Shutudri, that is Satluj of modern days, modern times, and then the other is Bipash or Bipat. There are two roots in this. One is Patagatau. Pata is Gatyarthaka root, Patagatau. So Kula Vipatanat Vipat iti Kathyate. She goes in such a way, she flows in such a hurried manner and so violently, so forcefully that both the banks of the rivers, you know, they are devastated. Kula Vipatanat Patadhatu. Vipashanat Vimochanadva and Vividha. I mean, there are so many etymologies. How can I explain? It is Vipat because she has so many streams to go around. Vividha Pat, Vividha Gati. So many streams she flows. Like Narmada in Amarakantaka, you know, she flows in so many different streams. And then our Kavikula Guru Kalidasa, he visualizes the entire Amarakantaka mountain as the Shiva, okay, and this not as a Shiva, as an elephant. I conceive it as a Shiva. I visualize it as Shiva and the Dugdhabhisheka coming, you know, in different streams. But Kalidasa has described it as a beautiful gaja, maybe gaja from Kerala, Ayyappa festival, where, you know, the temple is all decorated with white drawings and colorful things, you know. So that is what, you know, so Vipatanat is Vividha Pata, that is one meaning, and Vimochanat and Vipashanat, for that there is a small akhyayika, there is a small story in Brihad Devata also, and it is said, Pashebhyaha Mukta iti Vipash. She doesn't have any Pasha, nobody can bind her, nobody can, you know, there are some horses, you know, which are uncontrollable, some mares which are uncontrollable. You can't tie them in the stable like that, okay? Because Pashayehi Mukta, Pashebhyaha Mukta. And the story goes like this, that once Vasishtha floored himself in the stream, tying with ropes. He tied himself with the ropes and apne aap ko baha diya, okay? He just floored himself, let him go as the stream flows. But what this Vipash did, this Vipash, this river, it removed all the pashas of Vasishtha so that he just floated and he survived. And therefore Vipasha, she removed the pasha not only of herself but of other people. That means she is kind, she is compassionate. Here is the suggestion. She is so compassionate that she saved a dying Vasishtha who had flown himself to be dead. Will she not listen to me? This is where the dhvani comes. This is where the suggestive meaning comes, you know. Everything is not stated very in an articulated manner by the seer. You have to find out the hidden meanings. Reading between the lines, we say, right? We have to read between the lines to know more depth of the meaning. Okay? So this is Vyas, Vipat. that is Biyas, and she flows very forcefully, breaking all the barriers. She is uncontrollable. She breaks and devastates both the banks, and therefore she is called so. So this, in these two also, you know, you get a different characteristics of these two rivers. You know, this is perhaps, you know, like what you can say, maybe an inspiration for the later poets to, when they are portraying two different characters, like you have Anasuya and Priyamvada in Shakuntala, both opposite nature, Sharangrava and Sharadvata, then Durvasa and Kanava. How, where this inspiration comes from? Must be, or maybe from such studies, is it not? So Vipash is an uncontrollable, but still there is hope for Vishwamitra, a ray of hope that she is compassionate enough to serve, to revive the dying Vasishtha. She will definitely pay heed to what I am going to say. So this is how we have to derive the suggested meanings, extract the suggested meanings. Okay. Praparvatanam ushati. Now we come to the Sayana Bhashya. Parvatanam upasthat ushati ushatyau, that is kamayamane, vasha kamayamane, that is the root. Vishite, that is manduratha vimukte. Vishite, visite, that is manduratha vimukte. Mandura is a stable, they are released from the stable. Hasamane, hasamane is pardhamane, anyonya javena. I am speedier than you, I am faster than you, I can run faster, like that. They are vying with each other, both these rivers are competing with each other. Ashve, vadave eva. There is another word for ashva, that is a mare, that is vadava. And you know that vadava anala. Okay. So, yada parasparam rishyantau yadva. Hasamane, one meaning is pardhamane, yadva, or. Sayana always gives you different interpretations of the same word. Yadva, or parasparam rishyantyau tvaraya gacchantyau vadave. Parasparam rishyantyau hasamane. Chalo, main ja rahi hu, tum bhi aao jo mere saath, you know, like that. Taking along the other one. And that is very good meaning, because two verses after, we will see that they are mingling with each other, calling each other, like friends going to a market, you know, why don't you come with me, chalo let us go together, like that. These two rivers are going. So parasparam rishyantyau tvaraya gacchantyau vadave. Shubhre, looking lovely, shobhamane. Rihane matara gaveva vatsam, that is yatha gau vatsam jivaya ledhum shigram gachati tatha. See, these two rivers are flowing so fast. Why that speed? Because they are rushing back to their goshtha. What for? To lick their young ones. Ledhum liha. To lick their calves, they are rushing back to their cow pens, you know, like that. Gave vashubhre matara rihane vipat shutudri. Shutudri prajavete. Another very important thing of the Vedic language. Pra, the verse starts with pra, and the verb, the dhatu, comes at the end, javete. In classical literature, have you seen any time that a comes somewhere and then gachati? Here the entire verse, you know, the Rigveda, all these words come in between, and the upasarga and the dhatu need not be together in the Vedic Sanskrit literature. That is the speciality of Vedic Sanskrit. Sometimes even, you know, the upasarga comes after the verb. We normally know that upasarga has to precede. It's a prefix, is it not? There are other suffixes which come after the word. Upasargas are preceding. But still, in the Vedic language, sometimes we find the upasarga coming after the verb also. I'll show you some example here itself, okay? In this sukta itself. So, this is another variety. The prefix gets separated. And rihane, it is riha, that is liha, that is to lick, from which we have the word leiha, bhojya, bhoksha, abhaksha, leiha and peya, chaturvidhanna, right? Leiha, that which we lick like pickles. So, ralayoho abhedaha, and therefore la becomes ra there. Rihane is lihane. So here he considers himself as a calf, and therefore he wants to be caressed, wants to be taken care of by the mothers, motherly rivers. Okay, so this is the whole thing. I think we could complete only one. I wanted to complete five ruchas, but it's already 8. So I think I can't complete the other 4. Obviously, I would stop here because it's no use, you know, going ahead without doing any other thing. And let me close with the prayer. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.